I'm going to give you right now what might be the best news you've ever heard. It doesn't sound like good news when I say it. You've already seen it on the title of the show. That's the good news. It's one of the most radical titles I've ever had. Before I get into the glorious details, before I tell you the two words that comprise the good news for you today, I will tell you something personal about myself, because I think it'll help you. I had not planned on doing another night show smoking a cigarette, but I have been going through a really bad bout of depression. And I don't know, well, I kind of know where it comes from. I'm not going to be that personal with you, but don't be mistaken about this, because I know you're going through similar things. This is spiritual warfare. I don't care what the cause of your bad feelings are. It's spiritual warfare. Satan wants to depress you. He wants to make you feel ineffective. He wants you to doubt your calling. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to doubt your justification. He wants you to doubt your calling. He wants you to doubt your destiny. He wants you to doubt everything. And the only way he can do that, and this is related to the topic, the only way he can do that is to make you focus on yourself. Focusing on yourself is fine on the days you're doing well, on the days you're walking worthily of the calling, but I don't know. That doesn't happen every day, does it? Nobody has a consistent walk, and this is the whole vexation of the Israel calling, is it? They're called to walk consistently. I was told last weekend by someone that I should not advise people not to worry about their sin. And I'm on record as having said that. It sounds like an astounding thing to, for a man of God such as myself, or any man of God, to tell someone, don't worry about your sin. Do you think there is a single church in this country or in the world where those words went forth from the pulpit? I really doubt it. How could I even say it? Because of one verse, Philippians 4, 6. Our apostle speaking, because you will never read a exhortation like this in the Israel gospel, and that is, do not worry about anything, but in everything give thanks to God. In everything, don't worry about anything, period. Don't worry about anything except your sins, except that you're depressed, or except that you're sick, or except that you failed today. No. There's no exceptions. So I feel on pretty solid scriptural ground to say not to worry about your sins. As for my depression, let me give you the trick of surviving it. And here it is. I refuse to be depressed about my depression. And what if you're worried? What if your sin is worry? Martin, you're telling me not to worry about anything. Well, Paul's telling you not to worry about anything, but here's my advice for those of you who are worried. Don't worry about it. That's right. Stop worrying about your worry. You having a problem being at peace? All right, I got the solution to that too. Be at peace about it. Don't compound your troubles. I don't even want you to consider them troubles. They're just things you're going through. That's all it is. This depression is something I'm going through. I could be depressed about it. How bad would that be, to be depressed about being depressed? God, that would be a nightmare. Just be depressed. Just be worried. Just be disquieted. And don't be depressed about it. Don't be worried about it. And don't lose your peace. Don't lose your peace over not having peace. I'm dead serious about this. It goes along with Philippians 4:6. I haven't even got to the topic du jour. Wait till I get to that. I hadn't planned on doing this tonight. I wanted to make a nice, happy little video in the sunshine. No, it's not in the cards today. But sure, a lot of people are obsessed with things like obedience, accountability, walking the good walk, and we all want to do that. I'm not disparaging these things at all. In fact, I would encourage you to walk worthily of the calling. I encourage myself to do it. I would encourage you to. Well, Paul himself said he was obedient to the calling. It's not like we're talking about obedience to the law of Moses. Obedience, simply a two-part Greek word, means to hear and to heed. To hear and to heed. It's a generic term, doesn't necessarily have to do with the law of Moses. But ladies and gentlemen, obedience, accountability, a good walk, all of these things follow salvation. They don't precede it. That's the big stumbling block in the religious circles. They think these things precede salvation. They think that they're the quarter in the gum machine that kick out the gumball of salvation. How do you get the gumball of salvation? You're obedient. You're accountable. You make good decisions. You believe in Jesus. No. As I've said to you before, Jesus never saved a believer in his life. Jesus Christ never saved one believer. I'll give you a verse to chew on tonight. Romans 4:5, God justifies the irreverent. That's a shocking verse. Think about that for a second while I take another drag of my cancer stick here. I don't have time to get cancer and die. Because the way I figure it, the way Scripture figures it, the way the numbers look, the tribulation starts in 2021. So, I only started smoking these cigarettes 6 months ago. Which is odd in itself. I understand that. I ain't got time to get sick and die. Neither do you. No, these things follow salvation. Romans 4:5, God justifies the irreverent. Justifies the irreverent. Think about that. He doesn't justify believers. Belief comes after you realize you've been justified. You were justified while you were irreverent. Read Romans 4 and 5. That's your homework assignment tonight. But here's the phrase of the day. You died. Colossians 3, verse 3. You died. Of course, you didn't literally die. You're still alive. You're still breathing. I'm still inhaling tobacco smoke. In what sense did we die? We died to worry. We died to any concern, over concern about how we look, how we act, what we do. We're still concerned about it. Don't get me wrong. I said over concern. Over concern, that's another phrase for worry. We don't worry about it. You can't reform a corpse. Paul says in Colossians 3, be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth. For you died. This is actually in Scripture. You died, and your life is hid together with Christ in God. Your life right now. I'm talking now. This is not something that we will gain when we're made immortal. This is something we have now. This is how you're to consider yourself. You died. The details of that is the manner in which we died, is found, the details are found in Romans chapter 6. We were crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be nullified. Someday this body of sin might be nullified and will be constituted just. Now we're merely reckoned to be just. We're considered just by God. We're considered to have died with Christ. You can't reform a corpse, people. You can't be disappointed in a corpse. Why are you disappointed in yourself? Are you upset at a corpse when you tell it to get up and it doesn't? Of course not. You died. And your life is hid together. Who? With who? With who? With Christ in God. Right now, your life is not your own. It's hid. Joel Osteen talks about your best life now. Your best life now. Our best life is described in two words. You died. Why is that so great, Zender? Because your life is hid with Christ. It couldn't be in a better place. Your life right now could not be in a better place. I know your objections, but Martin, I'm depressed. I'm sick. I'm upset. I'm angry. You died. Why are you kicking a corpse? Why are you kicking a corpse? And where is your life? It's hid. You can't even see it. You can't even see your true essence. Your life is hid together with Christ. And if that's not good enough, in God. That verse goes on to say, that passage goes on to say that whenever Christ, our life, you see, Paul doubles down on this. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. Now, whenever Christ, our life, is manifested, then we also shall be manifested with him in glory. This is guaranteed to happen. It's been signed and sealed. The only thing that awaits is the deliverance. Stop kicking the corpse. You are now considered by God to be a new humanity. This is a figure of speech called prolepsis, where God calls what is not as though it were. This is a matter of faith, not perception. That's our call. That's the nature of Paul's Gospels. Faith, not perception. Let the religious people struggle after perception. Let them be looking in the mirror all the time. Let them be analyzing themselves, pummeling themselves, kicking themselves, whipping themselves into shape. Let them go. Let them do it. We died, and our lives are hid together. And I don't see how our lives could be in a better place than with Christ in God.